Good morning again.
Good morning.
I'm going to attempt to share a message with you about prayer. In case you didn't know, it's a big deal. As some people would say in business, it's a deal breaker. But before I begin, I want to share a personal moment with you. More often than not, when the pastor has asked me to fill in for him, I start off with some bright idea of my own, a topic that I just know will blow your socks off. For those of you that wear socks, Noah. I begin researching, reading, studying, and this is for you, Patsy, my favorite activity, jumping on Google. I find interesting articles and quotes, and I print them on oodles of paper. I mean, lots of paper. And there it sits, words on a page. That's useless, at least for me. I don't know how many times I have to get out of the driver's seat on my bus and let the Lord be the king of my heart. Then and only then can I see what he wants me to speak about. I've got to get out of the way. And for me, that's a hard thing to do. But what a privilege to speak his words. I thank you, Lord, and ask you to give me your words today and to make them come alive so that we can give you glory here today. Amen. So today I'd like to talk about the purpose of prayer and the traffic signals of prayer. Mr. Travis did a good job of talking about the red, yellow, and green, but I want to kind of just meditate on it a little bit. So for the last couple of weeks, some of our youth, we've been studying prayer. And if you, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a little bulletin board. Did you guys see your bulletin board out there?
So the
younger youth, we've been going over to the parsonage and dividing up from the teens, and we've really been trying to study about prayer. But we could talk for weeks and weeks and weeks about prayer. Prayer forces us to wait. Part of prayer is always waiting for God. So we're going to focus on three answers that he gives us in prayer. And it's the same thing as the traffic signal. It's yes and it's no and it's wait. Prayer aligns our hearts with God. It adjusts it. It aligns it. It sets our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings so that we're more like him and not ourselves. And it enables us to move forward. Prayer engages God, it enables people, and it enlarges his kingdom. Jesus says in John 15 that for without me, you can do nothing. That would serve us well when we think about moving out of the way, about getting out of the driver's seat. When you pray for others, when you pray for God's work to be done, for his will to be accomplished, he will begin to use you, and he will grow you in ways that others around you are just amazed, because it's not you. It's the Lord living in you. It's when we pray that we become more like him, and the more we become like Jesus, he'll grow us, and he'll show us, and he will use us if we will let him. Some of you arrived today. Who rode in the van? How nice is the van? Y'all like the van? We got the new signs on the outside of the van, which look really good. Adults, y'all can go check it out. But you came in the van today, and you rode on a highway that had traffic signals. Did Mr. Travis run any red lights?
No.
He better not, because he's not abiding by the policy that the church set forth. So what's the reason for a traffic signal?
So it means when
stuff. If you pass a red light, you'll go to jail or just get a warning.
Okay. You go to jail or get a warning if you go past the red light. Noah?
He's done that before.
Or you can get in a car accident.
Yes. Carmen?
Or you can
get in a car accident. Yes. So it's for our safety, and it's for our well-being, and for those, not just the people that are in our car, but the people, everybody else that's on the road, right? Well, that there's three basic signals. So stop, slow down, and proceed with caution. So it would be pretty chaotic and crazy if the driver ran through the red lights and stopped at the green lights. What would that intersection look like? It'd be crazy. It'd be a mess, yes. So I want you to get in your car. I want you to put your seatbelt on, put your hands on the steering wheel, and we're going to take a ride. Y'all ready? So as we approach traffic, the signal light turns red. What should we do?
Stop.
Have you ever gotten frustrated because you had to stop?
This morning.
Being stopped causes us to wait. And I don't know about you, but I am horrible at waiting. And you can ask Mr. Travis if you don't know that. But the Bible says, why should we wait on the Lord? Psalms 59:9 says, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. And you guys know this scripture because we've studied it before, and it's in Isaiah 40. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. His strength works in us and through us when we wait and we walk with him. Our problem is that we want to run our own lives, and we are not bold enough to say that we know better than God. But our actions show that we trust our judgment better than we do his, because the Lord knows what is best for us. I wished I could say that I'm not guilty of trying to run my own life. But we're in church, and I'm going to be truthful. It's a daily struggle for me. Some days, it's an all-day struggle for me. I can't explain why, but I get in a mood and an attitude, and I fight against myself all day long. But we wait because God sees what is ahead of us. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what we're going to run into. So if we would wait, then we would let the Lord work all those circumstances out rather than all that energy that we spend trying to control them. And we don't even know what we're trying to control. We're wasting a lot of time. He will fight every battle that you ever have to fight. You will never, ever, ever be by yourself. And he'll work all those details out so that when you go back and you look at it, you know that the Lord had to take care of it because you couldn't have fixed it that way. Not every intersection that we come into life will cause us to stop and wait. But when that does occur, we need to recognize that the Lord has put a red light in front of us. He's telling us to stop. And we need to be patient for him to work his plan out rather than us trying to force our plan into action. All right, we're back in the car. Finally, it turned green. Now we get to go. That was a long red light. It took forever to change. Imagine if that light never, ever turned green. We'd just be sitting in the car, right, in the middle of the road, stuck. Have you ever been broke down in the middle of the road? This is pretty stressful. The people don't know why you're stopped. They're honking the horn. They're driving by you. They're waving. Some of them are not waving. They're using some finger movements. You don't know what they're doing. They're yelling at you. They're screaming at you. But have you ever come up on a green light and you really weren't paying attention And you just sit there.
And it's going to change to a red light again.
If you don't get moving, it will. That's exactly right. So we can't just sit in the middle of the road. We have to move. Spiritually speaking, we need to advance forward. This Christian journey is not meant for us to stop and take a nap. Wake up, Don. Or just chill out when we really should be moving forward. There's a song, y'all don't know it because it's old, and I'm not old, but it's called Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching Off to War with the Cross of Jesus Going On Before. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be moving. This is a little quote that I Googled, Patsy.
Thank you.
It says, if you don't move forward, sooner or later, you will begin to move backward. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to go back. I don't want to go through all that stuff that I was dumb and stupid and controlling and stubborn and prideful about. I don't want to go back. I want to use what the Lord has brought me through to be able to move forward and stand in confidence and know that I'm forgiven. We all have things in our life that make us want to quit, give up, and stop. But God's word tells us to move on. In Isaiah 41, it says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." And in Isaiah 43, it says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen. We cannot allow life or fear of what may be ahead of us that we don't even have a clue about paralyze us. We can't stop in the middle of the road. We have to keep moving forward. And if we're going to reach the end of this life, we have to press on. What's the trucker say? Put the pedal to the metal. We got to put the pedal to the metal. God is with us, and he will guide us through all the green lights. All right, we're back in our car. We're going. We might be speeding a little bit. Oh, man, it's a yellow light. Should I stop or should I go? When we see that red light, we're really, really sure, right? I needed to stop. When I saw the green light, I knew exactly what to do. Go, plow ahead. But here I am, again, unsure. I don't know about you, but when that happens, prayer is where I need to go to. Early in my Christian walk, when I faced uncertainty, I would try everything in my power to figure it out. Prayer was my last resort. Now, I know some of you may see that yellow light, Zion, as a clue to step on the gas, but that probably would cause havoc. I have learned that my first line of defense is prayer. You know the one when you just cry out and you say, "Lord, I don't know what I'm doing." Now my relationship with the Lord gives me the confidence to say to the Lord, "Hey, Lord, it's Tina." Because he knows you by name, Noah. And he's called you by name. The Lord knows what is ahead on our road. Every single person in here, the Lord knows what is ahead on your road. And he often gives us warnings to just slow down. So I'd said earlier that our youth has been focusing on prayer, and we're learning that we can pray anytime, anywhere. Hey, Carmen, I got a question for you. What is prayer? A prayer pretzel, but what is prayer? What is it?
Prayer is talking to God.
Talking to God. Talking to God. It's just having a conversation with Him. So let's imagine for a minute that God is sitting in the room with you and He's talking to you. You could start with, "Hello, God. It's Noah again." Begin the conversation and share from your heart. And listen. Really listen for His response. Do you guys think that it's crazy that we say that you can listen to God and that he talks to you? Do y'all think that that's crazy? He does talk to you. And He will talk to you in different... You could hear an audible voice from Him. But He speaks to us in our everyday life if we will pay attention to Him. Prayer is not about the words that we say or how we say them. It's all about just sitting down to talk and having a conversation with the Lord about what's going on in our life. I know there are times if somebody drove up beside me in my car, they would think that I had lost my mind. Women's circle know that sometimes I'll be in my car and I'll be screaming out loud, and sometimes I'll be crying out loud, and sometimes I'm singing to the music and doing my hands around. But it's all about a conversation. We make it harder than it is. And young people, sometimes sharing all the stuff that we don't want to talk about to somebody else, that's the perfect time we need to be talking to the Lord. He's the best secret keeper that you'll ever, ever have. We should talk with Him often. The more often we talk to the Lord, the closer we get. So when we go days, weeks, or months without talking to somebody, is it kind of awkward the next time you see them? You're kind of like, you don't know how to have a conversation with them? Or you feel guilty because you didn't text them or you didn't call them? Or us old people, you didn't drop a card in the mail? It's awkward. So if the only time that we prayed is on Sunday morning, what does Pastor say? We'd be a bunch of poor, pitiful puppies. We can't just pray on Sunday morning. It doesn't work. It's not going to cut it. We can pray when we wake up in the morning. We can pray when we're driving around town, looking at the traffic signals. We can pray before we get out of our car to go to work or school.
You can pray when it's time for you to go to bed.
That's exactly right. You can pray when it's time for you to go to bed, he said. You can pray as you face decisions or during the day when you're upset or you're worried about something, when you're feeling stress creeping to your heart. You can pray any time, anywhere. It's our choice. I've used a prayer journal before. And I don't know if any of you do that or not, but I write down a date, and then I write down who I'm praying for. And then I write down why I'm praying for them. And I've gone back and looked at some of those, and some of those are happy and joyous, and some of them are sad. Because God doesn't answer every prayer the way that I think that He needs to answer it. And that's a hard lesson. But I think if we would do that and we'd go back and look, it really shows us the importance of why we pray. it's a habit, and you got to get into the habit of doing it. So I can only encourage you to find ways to pray. Not everybody's way is the same way. You know, I know some people that won't even pray out loud. They don't pray out loud. They'll say, I'll pray, but they pray inside. And that's okay. But we just have to pray. Young people, do y'all remember on our bulletin board when we did the five-finger prayer? Do you remember some of the ones that we prayed for? Sage, do you remember one? What's one? Pray for yourself. Pray for each other. And that we need to tell the Lord that we're sorry and confess. We need to praise Him and we need to thank Him. Like I said before, I use my car as my prayer closet, and I listen to Christian music, and it's not unusual for Travis to get a picture on his, I text him a picture of the screen of the song that I liked multiple, throughout. I send them to Annie. If they speak to me, then I try to share them.
While she's at the red light.
Bethel ladies, do y'all remember when we did a prayer walk around the fellowship hall?
What?
A what? That's a great question. So us ladies, we went over to the fellowship hall, where you were earlier and we had breakfast, and we walked around the church and we prayed. Each individually in our own way. And that particular time, we prayed for the youth of this church. And look at the youth of this church today. And look at what God is doing today. I know some of you have prayer partners. I challenge you to find one if you don't. Sometimes it's easier to have somebody reach out to you just to touch base with you and say, hey, or did you share devotion? Did you see the devotion today? Now everybody's got to go to the bathroom. So, Ephesians 6:18 says to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. At all times, on every occasion, for all believers, where? Everywhere. That's a commandment. There's nothing in between. We don't, it's not Sunday morning prayer. So in closing, I wrote a prayer down. And this is a prayer from my heart,